That does sound exactly like all the other songs.
Yeah, but apparently it's just a little different because that's the Major League Baseball thing.
Ooh.
If you couldn't guess. If you guessed football.
Now, if you were waiting for Joe Buck to just chime in right now, we're sorry you're disappointed.
We did kind of let everybody down right there, I think, a little bit.
I don't think anyone's ever disappointed not to hear Joe Buck. Even though I like Joe Buck, but there's a lot of people that don't.
Really?
Yeah.
Especially baseball.
Me included.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, why?
He's just, like, too boring. And...
Don't you want that in a player?
Like, cookie-cutter-ish?
Yeah.
Is that what you would say?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm spoiled because... Well, we all are because we lived in San Diego and we got to experience, in my opinion, the best play-by-play baseball announcer, Matt Vasgersian.
Oh, yeah.
He is hilarious.
And he got the hell away from San Diego real quick.
I don't know. It's hard because growing up in L.A. and having
Vince Scully. Oh, well, of course you got Vince Scully.
Not even being a Dodgers fan, but just Vince Scully is, I think, the epitome of what Major League Broadcasting is. Major League Baseball Broadcasting.
He set the bar.
And the guy from the Cleveland Indians.
In Major League?
Major League.
I think he's actually
just
the Brewers.
Just a bit outside.
I think he's the Brewers.
Yeah, Bob Uecker.
Yeah, Bob Uecker. Jerry Coleman's up there, too.
Yes, Jerry Coleman.
Yeah,
Jerry Coleman is definitely up there.
Hang a star for you, Mr. Coleman.
That, though, keys us off on
our
32nd
episode.
A 32nd episode. Hell yeah. Pop Not Soda. We are here. And it is a hell of a baseball postseason.
Yeah, I think 32 is also the amount of feet that Jose Bautista threw his bat.
Yes. And I loved every foot that bat flew. I enjoyed.
Oh, yeah. See, Brian, we just steamroll over that. And Dan doesn't even talk about the age anymore on the episode. He doesn't even make the comparison. But, man, he threw that bat so damn far. And what a stank face he had, too.
Oh, my God. I've never seen somebody just pimp a home run like Jose Bautista.
So, if you know what we're talking about, Game 5 from the division series between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Texas Rangers.
In Toronto,
which had the craziest seventh inning I think I've ever seen. It lasted 53 minutes. It had two bench clearings. It had two reviews from New York. Some of the stupidest rule calling I've ever seen.
Some of the craziest shit I've ever seen, too.
Yeah.
The most errors in a row I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Not on my rec softball team because we were pretty error-free.
Right, it was three, wasn't it?
Yeah, back to back to back.
Yeah.
Nice.
And the nastiest home run. Like that was the that is the greatest comparison to getting dunked on in Major League Baseball as anything like you can do.
He looked at that home run like John Taffer looks at a bar in Restaurant Impossible at the beginning of every episode, just like
bar rescue.
Oh, he absolutely crushed that ball, and then what ensued was the bat flip
around the world.
The bat flip heard around the world, absolutely. I mean, it just set the internet on fire.
It wasn't even a flip.
No, it was not.
He just threw it as far as he could.
And he threw it quite far.
Yeah, and yeah. It was fucking awesome.
I mean, the greatest thing is I've seen shirts coming out today that just say, "The ball don't lie," to kind of explain that comeback. But if you missed it, there's controversy in the top of the seventh inning against the Blue Jays. Or against the Blue Jays, I should say, where Russell Martin, the catcher, was throwing the ball back to the pitcher after a pitch, and it goes off the bat of the current Rangers hitter. Well, it hits his bat, goes all the way down like the third baseline, and the runner on third comes home and scores.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't think, like, oh, that's not a live ball. But it is.
Yeah, I mean, I would think it is.
I mean, it's almost like throwing a ball at somebody at first and hitting their body.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, something like that.
Yeah,
that's
if
what
he threw it back to the pitcher and he didn't catch it, it just bounced off.
It's just that the batter was adjusting. He was reaching over the plate and down the way. But as long as he's in the batter's box, it's fair game. That's the difference. If he had been a half foot out, wouldn't have been a live ball.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about that, too, is the main reason why we haven't seen this happen much more in baseball is because of that stupid rule. It's not a stupid rule. It actually speeds up the games a lot. But you can't leave the batter's box anymore. And I think that's why that caused that to happen.
Yeah, so no, I think the official rule is that, right, is you can step out of the box if you swing.
Okay.
But if you take a pitch, you aren't allowed out of the box. You just have to take... I mean, guys still do it.
Yeah, you've got to adjust, like, right there.
Right,
yeah.
You can just put 1 foot out, which is like what you do in Little League. It still would have been a bad throw.
Yes, yeah, it was... It was just... It's a crazy thing I've never seen.
Yeah. And I don't think anyone's ever seen that.
So the Rangers go up 3-2. Toronto goes batshit crazy. And they start throwing all their beer cans towards the field.
Yeah.
Which I think Toronto's got to be the last major league stadium that still gives the beer cans to people.
It's Canada bro.
Yeah, because most of the people were pouring their beer into the cup and then throwing the empty cans. Which never made it to the field. They're mostly hitting people that were sitting closer to the field.
Right.
Because try throwing an empty aluminum can from the upper deck. It's not going to make it.
Yeah, that's a failed operation. But damn it, I'm not wasting a $12 beer at the stadium.
Hell,
yeah.
Especially in Canadian dollars.
Exactly.
Which is, I think, just as much as the American dollar now. Yeah. But yeah, so then we go to the bottom of the seventh. The Rangers make 3 straight errors. They load the bases. They give up 1 run, so the game's tied.
Fielder's choice.
And there's 2 outs, 2 batters on, and Jose Bautista comes to the plate and absolutely just destroys a pitch out into left center. And then commences with his epic throwing of the bat.
Yeah. And that pitcher was pissed, too, but it's like, dude, did you see how nasty it was?
Yeah, well, he tries to fight with the next batter.
Right, with Edwin. Obviously, if you're the pitcher, you're going to get butt hurt. Because there is the unwritten rule in baseball where you don't just watch your home run. And you definitely don't flip your bat. Because then you're taking one in the head, you know, next at bat or next game. But it's playoff baseball. It's game 5. You're at home.
Yeah, there was so much emotion. And that's what it was.
Exactly.
Like,
I mean, I have no problem with it. I know a lot of people and a lot of just classic baseball fans think that he was out of line for doing that. I mean,
it's all the old white people.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck you. Yeah, go fuck yourself. If you were in that situation, you would fucking be celebrating too.
Yeah, like and Cole Hamels and the pitcher, the relief pitcher for the Rangers, who I could care less know his name, you know, talked about him not being a class act. Being a cultural difference and
be a better athlete.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I would want to say. Like, yeah, he just
hit a 450-foot home run and then see what you'll be doing.
And I just thought it was so petty that that's what they want to talk about after the game is how disrespectful Bautista was. And I could care less.
Right. The pitcher, I think his name's Dwyer. He was talking about how Jose Bautista is looked up to as a role model and how he's setting a bad example for kids. And it's like, what is he setting a bad example for? To celebrate when you do something well? Like,
you're setting a bad example for pitchers.
Yeah.
Like, stop doing what you're doing.
The bad example is you don't hang a fucking slider across the middle of the plate.
Not to put Jose Bautista.
And you don't start 2 fights. Because that's what he did that inning, but nobody wants to talk about him not being a class act.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I also think, you know, maybe it is a cultural difference. Maybe, you know, people from different cultures enjoy the game a little bit more than Cole Hamels and Dwyer. I could care less. I hate the Rangers, so I don't even care to learn their players'
names. You won't have to worry about hearing them anymore.
Oh, I am so glad.
Yep.
I'm actually so glad that both Texas teams were eliminated yesterday.
That was a bad day for Texas all around.
I was kind of rooting for the Astros because I feel like nobody would have put the Astros in the playoff picture. I feel like every other team at the beginning of the year, you know, you're not surprised that they're there. Maybe the Rangers, actually.
Yeah.
Both Texas teams. But yeah, I was kind of rooting for the Astros because I felt like they were probably the biggest underdog.
Like the Royals last year.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Royals last year. And they had their shot, you know. They already went to the series.
Yeah. I always forget that the Astros moved leagues. Yeah. I always forget that.
And I wish that they would have gone back to the, like their old name called the Colt 45s. It's been called, but not. I know. Don't add the 45.
Promotions might get a little dangerous.
Yeah, exactly.
Call them the Colts. If you ever look up like those retro uniforms of them being the Colts, it's kind of awesome. But I think what happened to them was the governor's office of Texas tweeted out before Game 4 was over, "Congratulations on going to the ALCS, Astros. Ooh. Hopefully, the Rangers make it there next." Before that game had finished, where the Royals go on to score an obscene amount of runs in the ninth inning and win that game. And I think that was the kiss of death for the Astros. The old baseball curse jinx.
Yep. You don't do it.
You don't talk about shit in baseball.
No.
Apparently not. Before it happens.
Nope.
It's a very, very much don't ask, don't tell culture. Yeah. With far more ass slapping.
Yeah. And more balls and hardwood than you would ever find in on Fire Island.
You know, you get through the bases pretty quickly, so you've got to learn pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to go down this rabbit hole, guys?
Depends on what hole. Yeah, depends on what hole you're talking about. Oh,
the Cubs, though. Christ. The Cubs. I'm excited about the Cubs, just because I want Bats of the Future 2 to be correct.
Yeah,
that was the prediction of Bats of the Future.
The Cubs beating Miami. Before there was the Tampa Bay Rays, so they were almost cool.
You know, how many people do you think? Because could you make that bet?
Like, yes, you could bet on the Cubs to win the World Series.
Yeah, like, for sure.
I mean, well, no, like say 20 years ago, could you put this bet down at some Vegas casino?
No, because it resets.
They do year to year.
Every year.
Okay. Because that would have been interesting if there was like a group of people that as soon as Back to the Future 2 came out, they're like, fuck it, I got $20. Let's just go to the casino and put this in the sports book on the Cubs in 2015.
I think if you put $20 on the Cubs before the season started to win the World Series, you're going to make a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Had to be 100 to 1.
And
maybe not that much. But
I'm so glad they beat the Cardinals, too. Because the Cardinals are the most boring team, I think, now in professional sports. They have officially replaced
the Spurs, yeah.
Well, at least the Patriots are a bunch of assholes, so they're not that boring. But, no, I'm just glad. I want somebody different. So we're going to have a team that hasn't won a World Series since, I think, the Blue Jays in 93. So you'll have somebody different. Somebody that hasn't won a World Series in over 20 years.
Yeah.
And it could be the Dodgers, who are playing the Mets currently tonight as we are recording this. So,
go Mets. Go Mets.
The other thing that's interesting is that all four teams, or actually I should say five teams.
Yeah, is this sort of like crack research from our like autistic team or something? This stat that you pulled up?
Our crack research team pulled up that
autistic Jimmy, our
this
crack
is the first
team.
Time.
Like, look at this stat.
I'm just going to keep going. It's the first time the last five teams alive in the playoffs all have the same color hat, which is royal blue. And if the Dodgers were to win in advance, that would be also the first time that each team has the same color scheme for a uniform, which is white and blue.
Nice.
Which brings me to the point of the MLB needs to change their damn uniforms.
Yeah, but I feel like that's just
baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's baseball.
Yeah. Like, what do you
it's all white?
So were steroids and amphetamines, but we got rid of that.
So what do you want to see, Dan? I'm curious to know what you
want
to see.
I want some Oregon-style, like, Oregon football-style uniforms. I want that Nike Pro. I want some cool designs. Like,
would
you
be
know what?
Satisfied
like the Dodgers,
with, like, mesh?
No, I don't care about the mesh, but I'm just talking about the design of the uniforms.
Okay.
Like, even though, I mean, the Padres are terrible, and they have the same scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I've always been a fan of corduroy.
We're not talking about materials here. We're not talking about materials here, okay? I'm just talking about, like, if you take your historical
corduroy
jerseys,
pants and cowboy boots.
Or, you know what? Get rid of the new era hats. Just bring back the old hats from, like, early 1900s.
Right,
yeah.
No, I just I get bored. Like, I also hate that the away jerseys aren't usually colors. They're just grayed out versions of the home kits.
Yeah. Pretty boring stuff. But that's baseball. It's boring. It's that's tradition.
That's why, like,
classic.
At least the Angels have some cool uniforms.
Yeah.
And they've been through even their cartoony Disney phase with an actual logo of wings on an A. Like, at least they tried it.
Man, that was a great movie, though. So, I full-on believed in the Angels at that time. Angels in the Outfield.
Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd.
JGL.
Tony Danza's the
pitcher.
Matthew
McConaughey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he was in that.
Adrian
he's
Brody.
He's the idiot fielder. Yeah, Adrian Brody. Danny Glover.
Holy crap.
What's his face? Not Dylan McDermott, but McDermott Maroney.
Dermot Maroney,
yeah.
He's making up names now.
Dermot Maroney, whatever his name is.
I remember that, not to go on a tangent, but I remember that scene at the end when that angel comes down and he taps onto the kid's shoulders and he's like, yeah, we're actually picking up that Tony Danza real soon, and being like, oh,
yeah.
He's dying! But, yeah.
Peace out,
Tony Danza. Stop smoking.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what it was. He was smoking. Anyway, sorry, back to that. Though you would like to see new uniforms.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm down for some new uniforms.
Yeah. I would love to see new uniforms as well, but it's just, it's not going to happen. I've come to that realization.
If you could revamp, what would be the first team colors and uniform that you would revamp, Dan?
Actually, I would say probably the Padres, because they're just boring, and they're
powder blue.
They have I don't know about the powder blue, but I think if you include that like orange with that dark blue, that's a color scheme that nobody has.
What about the old school unis? The brown, the diarrhea look.
I'm less diarrhea, more Nike Combat Pro.
So,
but what if you made diarrhea Nike Combat Pro?
Then, you know what, maybe we can have a conversation.
You're not a fan of Nike Combat Pro, huh?
Do those uniforms are so sick.
And how about you, Brian? What team do you think has the shittiest colors and uniforms this year?
The Astros uniforms are pretty bad.
They are nasty.
That orange jersey with the gray pants look, it's
not good.
It looks like a Little League team, you know? I mean, that's like the ugliest uniform that I can picture in Major League Baseball right now. I just don't know what I would really change. I mean, I would definitely make the actual uniforms in a different material.
They're thick.
I can't imagine those are that comfortable to play in.
That's why Pujols always has like the top three buttons unbuttoned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can see his wife beater and chain.
Exactly. You gotta flash the chain.
I'd be very down. What about you, Brett?
You know, what I would do is I would probably change the color of all of the Pittsburgh teams. Because they're all black and yellow, just to piss off the Pittsburgh fans. I'm very bitter about last Monday, so I would just change all those teams to different colors.
Well, it's just like, if you think about Major League Baseball, how many teams have a white and some variation of blue kit? There's a
90%.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they're like the UC system in California, where they're all just a different blue and gold color.
Right. It's very cost effective.
But the MLB doesn't pay for it. The teams pay for it. And it's just, I think it takes away a little bit when you're going to see 14 to 21 games over the next like 2 weeks, and all the teams are going to look the same.
Yeah. Who do you think is going to take it this year?
Oh, I'm hoping for the Cubs. I want a Cubs Blue Jays.
Ooh, that would be nice.
Or Cubs. I mean, actually, I'm happy with the Royals or the Blue Jays, but my boy Stephen Amell, the guy that plays Arrow, is a huge Blue Jays fan, so.
Yeah.
Oh, your safe. Boy?
Yeah, my boy.
He tweets them all the time. They're close.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Brian?
I think I like the Blue Jays. I think this whole event's just going to catapult them to another level. So I think Toronto's coming out of the AL. And, man, NL, I really don't like any team. Like, none of, I guess I'll just say the Cubs too, because it'd be cool to see them go and win a title after all this time. And they got fucking Schwarber, who's just hitting the ball almost slapping as far as Batista right now, and then Chris Bryan and Rizzo right behind him. So that's a that's probably the best 2-3-4 in the game right now.
Yeah, that so ball that he that ball that he hit that's on. I don't think they have a way of getting that ball off the top of that.
Yeah, they just gotta wait for it to fall off.
Yeah, yeah, like a huge breeze to come by. I think it's unanimous though. Pop Not Soda wants the Cubbies. I want the Cubbies. I'd love to see the Cubbies win.
I mean, the lovable Fly wants the Cubbies.
It's the lovable losers. I mean, I think we've seen them struggle so much. The one thing, actually, on like a completely, I guess it's still sports related, but I'd like to see Bartman kind of get cleared. I always think about Bartman when the Cubbies get kind of close to this. And I think when the Cubbies win, eventually, that guy might breathe a big sigh of relief. Well,
did you hear that there was a Kickstarter campaign to actually bring him to a game?
Oh, really?
But the guys that ran it, yeah, they wanted to like bring him to the game, get him seats, like, because he's just been so treated so poorly since that incident was like 12
years
ago.
He doesn't have a credit card.
Yeah.
But he's, yeah, he's, they don't know where he is. Like, he's still kind of in hiding.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him.
Yeah. And I would never, have you
ever seen like the 30 for 30 or the documentary on him? Like, he looks like the nicest guy who just wanted to like go watch his team play and was so into the game that he like didn't know what he like.
He was the ultimate.
He wasn't the only one reaching.
Right. He just reacted. Probably any of us would have.
That's
know?
So many people do. Like, if you watch Major League Baseball games, everybody does it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just natural reaction. You see a ball coming at you, you try and catch it.
Well, and I think it's extremely close to a lot of our hearts, too, because we could see that shit kind of happening somewhat in San Diego, too. Because San Diego has never been a winning team, whether it's been the Padres or, you know, we've never made it to the end and just claimed the title or whatever. So I think it would be something where I almost could see that happening here, too. I could compare us to the Cubs a little bit and be like, yeah, you know. I hope the Cubs win it out. I'd love to see the Blue Jays in it, too.
So. Yeah, so Marty McFly versus Canada, I think, is what we're going with.
Ooh. I go with Marty McFly every day.
moving from Marty McFly to some more somber news is the story that has come out in the past 48 hours about Lamar Odom.
Yeah.
Who was found unresponsive at a legal brothel in Nevada and has been on life support for, I think, the past 30 or so hours.
I don't understand why so many people emphasize that it's a legal brothel. Like, I hear it all the time in the media. It's just like, what does that make it better or worse? It's just a brothel, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just that they don't want to get hit for not, like, clarifying. Like, we don't want to get hit. Because so many people listen to our show.
He was in a whorehouse, doing a lot of drugs.
Well, that was the thing. So initially, the reports were that the only thing he was on was an herbal form of Viagra, which is already sketched to me. And then the 911 caller said that he had been doing cocaine and the herbal Viagra. So not a good, probably not a good mix.
Well, they just found a ton. They found a ton of other drugs in his bloodstream.
Did
too.
They?
Yeah.
Was that released?
Yeah.
So, I think it's just, it's something, and it's, Dan, what you were saying too, it's a very sad story, because this is somebody that was at, I mean, he was the sixth man.
Sixth man of the year.
Yeah, he was the sixth man of the year. And
NBA champion.
Yeah, to have such a downward spiral so fast, I think it's, you have to look at who his social circle is and who he has to rely upon to actually drag him out of these things, and he has no one.
He's had a really hard life, like.
He's had a lot of loss.
Lost his daughter. He was in a car accident that killed some people where he could have died.
Mm-hmm.
He married a Kardashian.
Yeah.
And then got
divorced.
That's
a loss right away.
Yeah.
But at least he was like, he married like the one good one.
Yeah, the one like sort of down to earth one.
Yeah. And that 8-ball did not predict that shit happening.
Yeah, right? As Amy Schumer says that was like the people's Kardashian. And I think when he was almost traded to Dallas, that affected him a lot with that Chris Paul trade.
Oh, yeah. That definitely fucked him.
Because I felt like he felt betrayed. He didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah, and I think he definitely has maybe some underlying mental issues or something like
probably
that.
Depression.
Yeah. I mean, it seems... I'm not a doctor. I don't think any of us... I mean, we're not doctors. But it definitely seems like he has some underlying depression issues, and he just doesn't know how to cope with severe stress. And I think a lot of what's sad about it is getting back to it. He doesn't have anybody that he feels he can go to. And, I mean, when they're catching him, what, like, he was smoking crack a few months ago. They caught him smoking crack.
A year or two ago.
A year or two ago. It's like, so what social circle are you finding where you're being provided crack to? Like, and nobody at any point is going, dude, you're Lamar Odom. You're the sixth man of the year and you're smoking a pipe right now? Like, come on, like, this might be a, let's have a talk or something. Like, at no point did anybody have this talk, which I, it's extremely sad.
Well, I'm sure people had this talk with him, but he was probably just at the point where he shut everybody out.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I mean, when you get to just rock bottom, you don't really communicate with anybody other than your drug dealer.
Yeah, he just blinders it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just a really sad situation.
I will say, if anyone caught Stefan Pelt on ESPN,
that was brilliant.
How he has been referenced as a Kardashian reality star or a reality star, or even CNN today, who posted a photo of LaMarcus Aldridge on accident when they were talking about Lamar Odom.
Jesus.
One, it kind of shows the carelessness of the media. I think, two, though, this just dehumanization of Lamar Odom, where I think it's easier to talk about him as a coked-out reality star than a troubled athlete.
Well, that's what they were saying, too, is it's become, I think Van Pelt hinted on it. He goes, this isn't an ESPN story anymore. This is a People magazine story. And that's how everybody's detailing it these days. And you're saying, right, you're absolutely right, Dan. It's sad. It's not a troubled athlete anymore. It's like a falling star celebrity or reality show celebrity that they're perceiving him as, which is completely off.
Yeah, and on our report, we'll hashtag Kardashian because then we'll get picked up because that's what's popular and that's what gets hit and that's what pushes the needle. And I like that Scott Van Pelt just called people out on their bullshit. And there was like, Lamar Odom wasn't famous for the fame.
You know, and I'll be honest, and we were talking about it before we even started this recording, but if there is anything that comes out, and I have a strong feeling that there is going to be something, Brian and I were talking about it earlier, some Kardashian special comes out about that, about this, where it's them dealing with this and they've got camera crews in there or whatever, people need to know that that's the point where you need to officially write these people off as not anybody you need to look up. Like, you cannot trick yourself into looking up to these people, or you have to, you know, I don't know, remove these people from such a powerful role in society.
Yeah. Well, I know that their defenders and their justification is like, oh, we have this contract with E where the cameras have to be around us, whatever. But when it's a situation where someone's life, like, is legitimately at stake, where if he flatlines and a doctor and nurse can't get into the room fast enough because there's, you know, a camera guy, a sound tech, an engineer, a producer, and, you know, God knows how many other people, you got to understand, like, there's a line that you need to draw. And I honestly think that Khloe is invested. Like, they were married. You know,
still,
so I think,
technically are.
Right, still, yeah. Technically are. The divorce never finalized. So I think she's there for the right reasons. But, yeah, everybody else in that family,
it just smells really, really odd. Like, exactly. And that's the thing is, I think, you know, seeing through all the, just the shit that they've gone through, Khloe always seems to be the most normal one and the most just grounded.
And the one that cares the most.
Yeah, too, like, has respect for normal people. And, you know, it's just sad because she's the one. I mean, I wouldn't wish this upon anybody, but it's sad that she's the one out of this really shitty family that has to deal with such a shitty situation. Yeah.
With that said, all prayers, thoughts to Lamar Odom.
Yeah.
If this comes out after worse news breaks, then, you know, thoughts and prayers with his family as well.
Yeah.
We're rooting for you, Lamar. So get better, keep fighting. I will say one of the inspiring things was all the messages from NBA players that you just see.
Dude, he was loved by everybody.
Yeah, he was such a nice guy. Like, you can tell just from the responses, yeah, from everybody that he played with. And then even Kobe, you know, the guy would never leave a practice, you know, but he cut his, or he left a preseason game. He left a preseason game to go see him.
Yeah.
And somebody tried to say Kobe's remarks were not sincere, and he went off on them today. I just read that headline very quickly. But I think that's also...
That's the shit that fucks up people like Lamar Odom. So just, they need to stop doing that. That's what fucks up these athletes, is they aren't reality stars. They aren't celebrities that are trained to deal with this, like, just social pressure. They're there for their sport and their talent. Like, stop treating them like they need to be in the spotlight all the time, because they aren't mentally capable of handling this, a lot of them. We see it year in, year out.
Yeah. It's just, imagine, yeah, a normal person being thrown into the limelight just because they're, you know, really good at what they do.
Yeah. Like, you're a good cook. Here's a camera on you. It's like, no, it does not equate to always being in the limelight. And the media needs to stop that pressure.
You hear that, media? So when we get that famous, we do not want 24-hour coverage on us.
We do not.
Well, maybe at first, and then...
Brian's going to have a season on Brian.
Has a Kardashian bone in them, looking at you, Mr. Owens.
Yeah. Maybe the other way around.
Hey. They're all legal now, so you're fine.
The youngest ones are the best.
That's his tagline for his show.
On that note...
No, that's going to be on my tombstone.
On that note, I think we should send this to a break, please. Oh God. Stick with us. We've got Brian's homeless movie review.
Yes. I'm still on the streets.
We'll be talking about,
come find me,
you know, everybody's favorite thing from the 1960s, which is Playboy. And maybe some Netflix changes as well.
Yeah.
So as Brett says, we'll see you on the flip side.
Once again, means it's time for Brian's homeless movie reviews, coming to you straight from the alley behind Brett's apartment. I know you just pulled those banana chips out of the oven and just can't wait to throw them in your mouth, but set those aside. Or maybe that's just us. Maybe this is the only house ever to bake banana chips.
We do have banana chips bacon.
So on to the movie.
Banana chips.
It's literally what's in the oven right now.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah, you don't even know. So this week, I'm going to be removing a movie that probably nobody has seen. It's called Headhunters, and was notably directed by the guy who did The Imitation Game.
Oh.
The recent Academy Award nominated film. This movie, biggest star who you would recognize on Game of Thrones, the actor without the man bun.
Come on, Dan.
What's
there's
the
a thousand time? Characters, oh, Jesus, so Dan. Stop guessing. Jaime Lannister, a.k.a. Nikolaj Coster-Waldau, who knew his name was that easy to pronounce. So yeah, this movie, Headhunters, pretty interesting. You have a character who is living this dual life, married, successful businessman. He is a headhunter, a recruiter. for, you know, like big companies. And then on the side, he steals paintings.
Ooh.
Like, well, you know, just like find out who's got expensive art in his house through a few different ways. One being that his wife is an art dealer. So, like, people that he meets through her, you know, knows that they have expensive art. He also has an accomplice who works for a security company. So, that's how he, like, gets into these houses, can shut off the cameras, knows when they leave, things like that. And, gosh, it's, like, hard to talk about this story a lot without giving away some really good twists.
Are his friends and his wife aware of his?
No.
Okay.
He definitely lives a double life.
Okay.
Doesn't know. And then Jamie Lannister plays a character who is being recruited by our protagonist to fill a CEO role for a company. And yeah, so like all this crazy shit goes down, and it starts off just as, you know, like kind of a ho-hum, you know, drama, really. Nothing else going on. And then it leads into like a pretty intense action film. Oh. You learn that Jamie Lannister has a military background, and, you know, things happen where he starts to go after our protagonist. So the headhunter becomes the headhunted.
Ooh.
You get it? You get what I'm laying down right now?
Yeah, good job.
And that's what I love about these foreign films is they don't fuck around. Like, I don't think there's ever been a PG-13 foreign film, ever. Always rated R, right?
Yeah.
Because they can just, you know, like, have crazy sex scenes and have dudes get their face blown off and can show everything, and it's awesome. The only thing that I have trouble with sometimes watching movies with subtitles is, like, actually paying attention. You know, because, like, you'll get on your phone for 30 seconds and then look up and realize, you know, like, you don't know what the fuck just was said. Or
people
what was
are headhunting.
Right. Exactly. Motherfuckers are headhunting and you're playing Candy Crush. But yeah, the movie, really, really entertaining. And like I said, there's, you know, it's not stuff that's going to blow your pants off. But some pretty interesting plot twists and, good ending as well. So Headhunters, you can find it on Netflix. Giving 3 out of 5
Ooh.
Quarters.
It's a 75 censor.
Yeah.
So I think it the is. First 75 censor we've had.
Her got 4.
Yeah?
Oh, no, I gave... remember, I changed my review
right.
for Theory of Everything.
That's right. That got put up to 75 cents.
Yeah.
To
Yeah, so we have $1.50 with Theory of Everything and Headhunters.
We do. That'll get you a cup of coffee somewhere. Not at Starbucks.
You know what that used to buy
Maybe
you?
Maybe 7-Eleven. Got
that
gas.
Used to buy you an issue of Playboy magazine.
$1?
$1.50, yeah. Back
Holy
in the day.
Crap.
I bet it's less than
see,
that.
You
can
see some free boobs and bush for $1.50.
Dem titties for $1.50.
Man.
Dem titties $1.50.
That was their old slogan. Before you came in and was like, no, I'm going to have a mansion. And
Mr. Hefner, Mr. Hefner, I got this great slogan for you. Hey, Chip from marketing, it's your first day. Just go back to your seat. Dem titties $1.50. Print.
I love how everybody in that age talks like that too. When Brian does an impression, hey,
wait, that's every age though.
Yeah. Mr. Hefner.
It's a smoking, like, wide walking man coming down like the hall,
pants up to his nipples.
Yep, yep.
with the suspenders.
He's got the crooked grin with the cigarette popping out of his right side.
Cup of coffee, suspenders, and his fucking trousers up to his nipples. Excuse me, Mr. Hefner.
With the jacket down to his knees.
Oh, yeah.
Pants to the nipples, jacket to the knees.
In 100 degree weather.
Yep.
With no air conditioning.
Pinstripes.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
While Hefner's outside at the pool.
Oh, yeah.
But they had recent news, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we were just talking about.
I didn't even know that they were still prisoners.
Harry the white walking intern.
Our next segment about guys from the 20s that are apparently in the 50s. Pretty magazines. Playboy made an announcement yesterday that they will no longer be publishing nude photos.
Wow. So no one will buy their magazine.
I didn't know if anyone's still buying their magazine. I think that's why they're making the change.
You'd be surprised. There's like, I think, close to 900,000 subscribers still.
To Playboy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because they're
a majority of those people are dead.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
just have like active, recurring...
The widowed
wife is just picking them up like, God damn it, Harry. Again? When is this shit going to end?
He's ordering it from the grave.
Would you buy the 10-year subscription?
I'm pretty sure the only person I knew that had a Playboy subscription was like my uncle's uncle, who was like the nicest guy, who passed away a few years ago, but he just had like a garage, like he was like a subscriber from the beginning.
You know what's sad is, I mean, that was like kind of a staple of growing up for many generations.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was Playboy first. And
I think our generation's, well, my generation is probably the last one.
Where was the first?
Because you guys are so much older.
And wiser.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And our balls are longer.
Longer? Jesus, Brian.
probably get that checked out. No, I think our generation will probably be the last generation that had that, like, you know, steal the Playboy.
And it's going to be the Price is Right of Porn.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Price is Right of Porn. No one's going to remember this after.
You always
know
the 7-Eleven that, you know, where the guy's a little lax.
With the cover.
Or going to Bookstar?
Yes.
That was a real place.
Yeah.
At one point.
I do remember
when people
that.
Actually read books.
Yep.
Yeah. We used to go in there before movies and thumb through
a couple of peeper magazines. Yeah.
Some nudie zines.
Yeah. Some couple of peepers.
I think, you know, they're doing this for a multitude of reasons. One in which I think is, if you look at a magazine like Matsum, who is very successful and is very much the PG-13 version of Playboy, the difference is they get to have celebrities on their cover or do a feature every month.
Yeah.
Well, Playboy used to.
When that was like a thing.
Yeah.
But I don't... Who's the last celebrity that you can remember that posed for Playboy?
I can't remember. I mean, I'm not in touch with the celebrity culture. Right. I mean, it could have very well been somebody that popped up last
probably
month.
Probably a Kardashian.
Like on the CW or something. But I'm not in touch with that culture that's trying to poach those people.
I think the last person... Like, the last famous people that posed were, like, WWE divas. Like, Tori from, like, 2001.
Yeah.
And, like, so almost 15 years ago is the last time you're getting, like, celebrity draw. I think, like, Ronda Rousey was, like, their last, like, oh, God, please.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Not to sound perverted or anything like that, but I think that that was one thing that Playboy actually did pretty classy and tactfully, was they didn't... I mean, you see all these, like, just really... You see a bunch of raunchy
look
shit.
Look at a Hustler magazine like compared to a Playboy magazine.
And what they did, too, is I think they...
Okay, I will. Thanks for the suggestion.
Yeah, you don't have to tempt, Brian. But... What they did really well was if anybody wanted to see potentially somebody that was more famous above a porn star, that was the outlet to go see them nude, potentially, was Playboy. Because they were very tactful about approaching somebody and going, like, hey, do you want to do a modeling shoot for us? You know, do you not? Okay, we will never approach you again, from what I've heard, things like that or whatever. But,
I think that's something that's respectful. Yeah. And if you look at it, like, even in the 90s, Hugh and the Playboy Mansion made so many, like, cameos on sitcoms. Like, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, just to name the one, that's the one that always sits in my head, where they're actually at the mansion. Like, that's a family show. And, you know,
yeah,
the Hef in the back with the robe and the cigar and all the bunnies. And And I think that's one major point, is that they were losing out on readers and they were losing out on business because they could never bring in that celebrity feature anymore.
Yeah.
And so you have all, no-name girls who are posing nude. There's Google image search now, which you don't have to pay
so
for.
Exactly. So,
oh, sorry.
Well, that's the reason why they have decided to not publish nudity anymore. It's because it's just so easily accessible. Like, there's no draw there. So they're going to focus more on print and articles. So I can see, like, it's trying to go the route of, like, you know, like Esquire.
Yeah.
Like a gentleman's magazine.
Yeah. Esquire, I think, Matsum, I think those are the two forefronts. Or GQ, even a little bit. GQ is a little bit more classy.
Because Hugh's, like, he's in his mansion, and he's looking above the hill at the houses looking down on his mansion. He's like, the motherfucking porn industry? Really? Yeah. Damn it, man. Like, I need to change something.
I mean, hell, Hugh had 20 minutes in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Yeah. Yeah, that was R, though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
if you think back to it, when's the last time you heard a Playboy reference? Like,
or I mean,
or a mansion? Like, you haven't heard any. Like, they're no longer relevant.
Yeah,
like, I think you had the reality TV show of
Girls Next Door. Yeah, which actually brought Lifeblood, I think, back into Playboy because that too. But I think it was something at this time where, like, I think a lot of people you didn't hear them, like, talking about Playboy. I mean, Playboy was just kind of like a hush-hush thing, and then that was for the first time that people were like, okay, like, I can discuss Playboy with, you know, my buddy next door. It's almost like talking about wrestling with my girlfriend because she watches WWE Divas now. Like, they're characters on a reality television show that somehow brings a conversation between...
Bridged some market gaps.
Exactly. And it was a brilliant bridge.
Yeah. Gotta mind the gaps, you know?
So
do you think it'll be successful? Like, how long
now? No. I think they'll just continue to lose subscribers
as they die.
And then will it and then will it die, or will they eventually go back to a product of what you think was...
This is the thing. Don't they still have the Playboy channel, which is, like, softcore porn?
Yeah.
So they're not, like, fully leaving that.
So it's just the magazine.
What I think's going to happen is when this transitions... I don't know if Hugh Hefner, you know, hasn't really been involved in actually publishing the magazine in probably a long time, but I think his son's going to take over and start leading the ship when they do the transformation. So it'll be interesting to see what route he takes it. I know, obviously, you know, we talked about what they're looking to change a little bit, but...
I think they have the ability to. Like, they have the resources.
Yeah, I mean, they still almost have a million subscribers, you know? People still want it, yeah.
You just have to be... You have to find your niche, and you have to compete with Matsum, GQ, Esquire. You've got to be different.
Yeah.
And if nudity's not working out for you, then you've got to find some other market.
Yeah, and I mean, I haven't held the Playboy in a long time, but... That shit was heavy back in the day. And I remember only being about...
It's all the centerfolds, man.
But I remember there only being about 15 nude pages in that entire magazine. It was a shitload of writing and articles and interviews and things like that. So, I mean, if they're confident that they can
Did they have the weird, like, back page ads, too? Where they're
I'm sure.
Yeah, like, the classifieds.
Playboy? I don't know if they were classifieds or Playboy. They were like sex toys, I think.
Yeah.
It was like the stuff that was gonna be on the Hustler store downtown on the shelves there.
Yeah.
It was like the hush hush kind of one step above Spencer's. You didn't have to clean it.
Above or below?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm not in that market. We will consult somebody that is in that market and we'll get it figured out. But I mean, if they're confident that they can move in that direction of good interviews, good article writing, things like that, God bless them, but I don't know if a majority of the people are going to...
Well, first off, it's the magazine business, and it's not the best right now.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't have a very accessible mobile platform.
Yeah,
right.
And I think that's the one thing you've got to work on is how can we make our mobile platform better than everybody else's.
Yeah.
You do that, it doesn't matter like what you're writing about, like you can be successful.
Curious.
Titties on the go, yeah. You're always gonna have success.
If they do change this format, does that lower the age? Can you buy this magazine at any age?
Yeah, no nudity, you should be
able to. So have they addressed that and publicly said like this will be no nudity at all, anybody can buy this magazine? Or are they still skating along the lines of being risque?
I don't think it's
or,
been like an official
yeah,
statement
but I think
by Playboy.
Okay. No nudity means you can purchase it.
So any 10-year-old can go up and buy a Playboy?
I think once they move their new...
That's
unless there's an age limit to like Maxim. I don't think there is.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's...
Really
I mean, that's curious,
how much
actually.
The guy at the counter of the 7-Eleven cares.
And
let's,
he doesn't.
Let's all...
Give
like,
a shit.
If he doesn't care... You can buy anything.
Oh, please. The shit he's watching is 10 times worse than what you're trying to buy off his shelf and paper. So,
yeah. Dude, you know, other changes announced this week. Netflix is upping their prices once again.
Woo, baby.
By $1.
There goes my savings account.
Yeah, but you are homeless.
That's true.
Should be a real thing for Brian. I'm not mad at it this time, though. I'm not mad. I was a little upset last time because the CEO was a dick about it.
He was a dick about it. Well, also, little asterisk, current subscribers will not have their rate raised for a year.
Woo!
So it's just new subscribers are going to be charged.
Yeah, and if you're not subscribing to Netflix, the hell are you doing?
Yeah, let's go. I mean...
I think it's $8.99, right?
It's $8.99 now, and then they're going to bump it up to
damn it. We're at that age where we're getting grandfathered into shit.
Yeah.
We are old.
You are.
We are old. Yeah, damn it.
Long
but
balls,
so what's
like I said.
Long balls, liver spots.
I will freak out if I see those. So is it going up from $7.90? What is it? I don't even know how much I'm paying for it right now.
Pretty sure mine's... I think pretty sure mine's $7.
We don't even know how much it costs, but it's going up $1?
Yeah,
because that thing just takes out of my account. It's
but,
like a Spotify,
yeah,
every
right?
Month.
Exactly. You don't think, and that's how they do.
Maybe
it
is $7.
That's why we don't
whatever.
Have a 401k.
Yeah,
because we have so many subscription services.
Oh.
Anyway, I'm okay with it because Brian and I were having this conversation. Is that Brian? You said that they're doing this so they have more capital for more original content.
Exactly, and if you haven't watched any of Netflix original programming,
Narcos.
Yeah, I mean, it's just countless. House of Cards, Narcos,
Daredevil,
Orange is the New Black, Daredevil, a whole bunch of upcoming Marvel stuff, Wet Hot American Summer,
Arrested Development,
you know, with another season
there's
coming up.
There's a ton of comedy specials, too, like
Jim Jeffries, and Aziz did one.
Chris Tucker.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a shit ton of original content. And then the new movie coming out. Beef with No Nation that's already getting Oscar acclaim. That's just being released simultaneously in theaters and on Netflix. Like when, you know, that's just crazy.
Tip of the hat
to
you, Netflix, for pulling that deal off.
And I know it's just a taste of things to come because, yeah, with the increase and, you know, the more revenue that they bring in, the more original stuff that they're going to be able to pump out. And... You know, when we were talking earlier, I'm wondering if it's going to be able to compete with HBO. I mean, it already has, and it probably has more viewers at this point, but I still don't think it has the notoriety or the, when you talk about HBO, there's just that sense of like accomplishment and sophistication. Where I don't think Netflix is at that point yet, but I think with the most recent release of Narcos and just how, you know, how good the reviews have been for that and everything that they have coming out next, I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For fucking $7.99 a month.
Peaky Blinders.
It's getting...
Yeah, Peaky Blinders. Yeah.
I am very excited to see where it goes. What's interesting, too, is that what you're seeing with Netflix is what happened to HBO when they first started doing content in, like, mid-90s, where...
Figured out they could just do it better.
Yeah, like I mean, it takes tripping over your feet a lot of years to realize, okay, this is how we pick content for our program and our viewers and our subscribers. HBO's nailed it. You hardly ever see them throw any content out that's like, I don't know if that's going
to
test well with somebody.
True Detective season 2.
Well, okay. fuck you, True Detective Season 2. But on other than that, though, I think that's where Netflix is right now, is you're seeing almost like a mid-90s approach where they're just having to trip over themselves a few times, realize what's working for them, what's not working for them, and you're seeing their product refine just continually, and it's just like getting us more excited. Where a dollar is like, I'm surprised you didn't charge me $5.
I would pay a dollar for all the content. Like, I'm very excited for Jessica Jones that's coming out.
Yep.
Especially because I just kind of hung out with our crack research team and buffed up on the like background of Jessica Jones, and this is a very adult natured comic that they're basing off of.
Yeah.
That if you've watched Daredevil, you know that that could really never fit in with like the happy-go-luckiness of the Marvel Universe that's on TV or in film, because it's just dark and violent. Well, this is could actually be a lot more darker than Daredevil. I don't want to give anything away, but the one thing I'm interested to see is if Netflix goes the route that Amazon Prime has recently gone, which I think is a great route for people who don't have unlimited data, but you can locally download anything they have available for Prime streaming. So if you wanted to download a movie because you've got to go on a plane, yeah, you don't have Wi-Fi, you can download it now. And I think, you know who hurts the most out of this is iTunes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, they're way behind the ball.
No on streaming this service, yeah, in video or TV.
And they cut out getting that high-def subscription thing that you buy off of the DVD packages half the time. You don't get that anymore. They figured that out, where, yeah, they're trying to charge you through the iTunes store now for another copy of the DVD that you actually have. I just looked it up right now, too. Netflix has 65.5 million subscribers. So just increasing that, what you were saying, Brian, earlier, just increasing that $1 every month, they're literally getting $65 million more, which is insane. Yeah. Insane. And that's not offending anybody that's subscribing to that model. They're doing it's like it.
Subscribers or accounts?
This is Netflix subscribers.
So I guess the quarter two
of 2015.
Shit.
65 man. Million?
65 million. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. So,
and I'll bet it's just been steadily increasing, right?
Yep. Q3 2011 was almost 23 million. So it's just gone up. And I mean, when you see it too, there isn't a dip anywhere. They've figured out their pricing. That's a huge, huge thing for subscribers these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. You increase it appropriately. Yeah. So, shout out to Netflix.
Maybe we should increase the cost
for these episodes?
For listening to our episodes.
Yeah. Free to... We pay them?
Ooh.
$1.
Yes. I like that. I'll throw in... Brian's got 75 cents.
Yeah, let us know if that works for you guys.
Yeah.
I got tweet 75 us cents
at Pub Astronaut Soda if you would like to receive compensation for listening.
Let's see how many new listeners we can get out of this
I'm plug. Looking at you, Sierra
Leone. Take the Scientology approach to it. Yeah. Yeah. Here's $1. Send it back for $30 at the end of the month. We won't do that to you, listeners. Sorry.
No Scientologists here.
Dan.
Right.
We all awkwardly gave everybody
a I do fuck with Tom Cruise, though.
Hey, Will Smith? Willie? B. Willie?
Is he a Scientologist?
No, but there's like rumors that like because he liked TC and like Tom Cruise TC got really close with Jada while they were filming
how close?
That movie with Jamie Foxx as the cab driver. And
the Michael Mann movie.
TC's a hitman.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah,
Collateral. Yeah. That like,
dude, I love that movie.
She may be a little involved and bringing Will Smith over, and I'm like, maybe that explains why his kid's so crazy. But
damn it, Jada!
I love me some Will Smith.
Damn it, yeah. Jada! Don't be pulling that Yoko Ono shit. We like
what
Will.
What man are you breaking up with?
No, we like Will.
Who doesn't?
I don't think anybody likes Jada.
Yeah, Will Smith does.
Did you hear that response?
Will Smith.
I mean, if you're asking me, Will Smith or Jada Pinkett Smith?
Jump to my head.
Yeah,
gonna say Will
every time,
every damn time.
Even in Wild Wild West.
Even in Wild Wild West.
Speaking of Will Smith, you
big
know
Willie
that
style.
That
he's
had
doing,
a big mechanical.
He's doing a reunion tour with Jazzy Jeff.
Ooh,
say what?
Yeah, they're going on tour.
Hey.
I'm down. Yeah. Millennium? That was my shit in 99.
Welcome to Miami. Bienvenidos a Miami.
Brian knows Spanish. Did you know that? Holy shit.
That's how I learned my Espanol.
Yeah.
Is listening to Will Smith songs.
We're always really good at wrapping up these episodes, guys.
Oh, we're still on the air? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we're still recording?
Yeah, we are amazing. But hey, what I wanted to tell everybody that's listening, because I'm committing us to this right now, we are going to check out A Haunted House Downtown this year. I think that is a very, very good thing for Pop Not Soda to do. We will let you know our experiences when we come back from that haunted house experience. What
if we come back?
Dun dun dun!
I think we should check out Frightmare though this year.
Where is that?
Downtown in the Gaslight.
There's a couple of them down.
Yeah, Market, Frightmare and Market.
There's the Haunted Hotel.
There's the one right next to Hooters.
Of course, Brian knows about that.
It's just been you and boobs.
Can I take my empty chicken wings dish for a 50% discount?
Yes.
Boom! Sold. That's where Pop Not Soda's going.
Can we go with the Hooters girls to the haunted house?
Yes.
Okay, there it is.
Ooh.
We can pick up some additional titties on the way, too.
What if they did a haunted Hooters and they slid, like, dead bodies on that rail back to the kitchen? Or dead bodies came out of that rail. Man. Nah, I'm just getting off on a tangent. I told you, we're not good at ending.
So we've been Pop Not Soda. Thank you, if you're still listening, for tuning in to our 32nd episode, just a couple years older than Brett and Brian. And
yay!
If you would like some more Pop Not Soda throughout your week after you listen to this episode and you just miss us, feel free to follow us on Twitter. Brian is at BOwens619, Brett at Nieces Pieces, myself, you can find me at Dan_Perez_. Or our general account at pop_notsoda. And just like this episode, we are available every Monday at popnotsoda.podbean.com and on iTunes podcast, search pop_notsoda. And with that, we will see you next week.